Great. So last week I kind of started something I'm calling Easter People. And in the lead up to Easter, I was preaching 2 weeks back to back. And I just thought, you know what, let's take a look and a snapshot at a couple of people around the Easter story. And so last week we looked at Mary Magdalene. And this week we're going to take a look at actually a group, the disciples, in a moment. But for those guys in Stocksbridge, you didn't hear last week's message, don't worry. You didn't have to hear last week's message to get this week's message. But just really believe that actually what we can do is, there's some great stories around Easter where they encounter and experience God's presence. And for me, I want that in my life. I want to know God, and I want to know what he has for me, and I want to experience his presence in my life. And so I thought, well, what better way to take a look at these stories and to see what happened to actually set myself up to experience what God has got for me. So like I said, we're going to take a look at the disciples in this moment. So if you've got a Bible, why don't you grab it off the floor? Some people have been here when I've been speaking. In Stocksbridge, I don't know if you've seen this, but if you lean forward when the preacher says, grab your Bible, you look really holy because it looks like you've got a physical Bible. So they're in Stocksbridge. When I say 3, 2, 1, why don't you grab your Bible off the floor? 3, 2, 1. Stocksbridge, you look amazing. Like I can just see you in this moment. But John 20, verses 19 to 24, and don't worry if you've not got a Bible, it's on the screen behind me. It says this: on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This moment happens after the resurrection of Jesus, and the disciples are in this room, and as the text tells us, they're scared, they've locked the doors, they're in fear for their lives, they're thinking they're going to be arrested, and it doesn't look great for them in this moment. So if you want a subtitle for my message today, it's called In the Middle. In the Middle. And I don't know anyone who likes the middle seat. I know you're wondering, where's this going? But you know when you ask someone, like when they're saying they're going on an aeroplane, you ask them, do you like to sit in the window seat or the aisle seat? Never do you like to sit in the middle seat. The middle seat is reserved for your children. So there's a, you know, especially if you've just got one child, then there's a two-way, like, we can both get at them. We can both restrain them, that kind of thing. We're going to be on an aeroplane with 3 children this year, so we're just putting them on one row and we're sitting miles away. We put them on row 29, we're on row 4. Good luck there, people. And you could just imagine my 2 boys, Silas and Jude, 3 and 2, just running up and down the aisle. No, you need to have your seatbelts on, boys. No, up and down the aisle like they are in the front row of church here. But the middle seat is not the hot commodity. We hate to be in the middle seat. The middle seat feels like we're stuck. I was getting on a plane to come back to England from America, and I had a transferring flight, so I'd flown from Dallas-Fort Worth to JFK, and I got to the airport, and on my ticket, I had a slight panic because it was like a 40-minute transfer time, and so I had to make sure that my plane landed on time. I had to pray that the pilot landed the plane on time. And I got out the door and they were amazing. Straight away there was a a lady waiting, and she said, are you on a transfer? And I said, yes. She says, where are you going? And I showed her my ticket, said, I'm going to Heathrow, London. And she says, oh, jump on. And it was like a golf buggy. And they're like, jump on here. And I said, well, I could just walk. I'm willing to walk. She went, no, you can't. And she whizzed me off on this golf buggy across the airport, past all of these gates. And I was thinking, yeah, I'm glad I didn't walk, because I would have been running, not walking. And I got to the airplane, and in plenty of time, I walk onto the airplane and no one's there. So I go and find my seat. The problem is, I know my seat is a middle seat. I know it's a middle seat because, you know, you have the number and then the letter behind it, A, B, C. Well, I was B. And I'm like, oh, I'm hoping for a quiet flight here. I'm hoping no one else is on, so I get this row to myself. Anyway, people start filtering on, and, you know, you kind of just like stare at people with that stare. Do not sit next to me. Do not sit next to me. And so people are coming on anyway, and this gentleman and this lady get on, and they're obviously a couple, and they're together, and they go, oh, that's my seat, and this is my seat. And I'm thinking, well, like, you've booked a window seat and an aisle seat. So I asked them, oh, do you want to swap to sit together? We're like, no. I'm like, so I've got to sit between you. It's like, I'm with my mum and dad here. I've got to sit between you two for the whole flight. Luckily, the flight was really quiet, and I got a whole middle four seat aisle to myself to lay down on that flight back. But that middle seat is not the hot commodity. And it's why? Because it's where we feel stuck. We feel stuck in the middle. It's interesting in life. We start something and we can be so excited about starting something, or we finish something and we celebrate that it's finished, but it's in the middle when everything gets difficult. It's in the middle of it where the work takes place, and it's in the middle where we can be most tempted to give up. It can be in the middle of something that we can be most tempted to just give it in, stop what we're doing, start something else. It's in the middle that we're tempted to give up. There's a great actual biblical example. This is just like a throwaway for us today that you can even think on. But there's a book called Nehemiah, and Nehemiah wants to rebuild the walls. And he takes on this incredible project, but there's a moment in the middle where they felt like giving up. I'll read Nehemiah 4 verses 6 and 10 to us. Verse 6 says this: so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. So they're in the middle. They're right there in the middle. For the people worked with all of their heart. Then verse 10. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. They're starting to give up. They're starting to give out. It's like our strength is giving out and we can't do this. There's so much to go on. We can't do it. We've hit the slump in the middle. I think we've all experienced this in life. I've experienced this when cleaning my garage. Because you get everything out and then it's the middle. I've got to put it back either neatly or I've got to sort it. And so the easy thing, I'll just throw it back in. And we'll deal with it another time. But right in the middle is where we can be tempted to give up. And here's why: because it's in the middle where fear can overtake us. It's in the middle where the middle of something where those worries can begin to turn into fears that begin to overtake us and begin to stop us walking into all that God's got for us. You see this actually time and time again. The middle is the moment where most likely in stories that they were going to give up. Matthew 14 and verse 24 talks about the disciples, and it says, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, or some other versions would say it was in the middle of the lake. buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. The disciples are in this moment where actually this massive storm is coming and they're in the middle of the lake and they are scared and they are fearful. And I think the stories are in there because it's incredible how many times that it's in the middle that we give up. It's right in the middle. This moment the disciples are in, that we read earlier, this moment that the disciples are in, the doors are locked. They're afraid. Fear has overtaken them. Can you imagine being in that room? Could you imagine, like you walk in, you know, you're there in Stocksbridge and you're in the room. We've locked the doors, everything. Can you imagine every single little sound thinking, this is it. It's over. The SWAT team are coming in. They're coming to get us. It's like every single sound becomes fearful. And so I think Jesus chose intentionally to enter in this moment. Jesus chose this moment where the disciples are locked in this room. He chose it intentionally. Actually, as I was reading the verses, I came across this version, the World English Bible. I'd never even heard of the World English Bible before. I probably read it. But here's what it says. When therefore it was evening on that day, so it's dark. The first day of the week, how many of us know when it's dark? It's scarier. Noises. When the doors were locked, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the middle. He came and stood in the middle. It's in the middle. And so the promise for all of us today is right in the middle of whatever is happening, Jesus is there. That Jesus will show up. Right in the middle of whatever's going on in your world and your life, Jesus is there and Jesus will show up. And the result of Jesus being in that moment that I want us to focus on today is this, that the disciples went from this fear overtaking them to actually being calmed because Jesus came into the middle. I want to say to some people today, wherever you find yourself, whatever life looks like, it might feel like I'm in the middle. It might look like everything's going on all around me. It might look like there's no way out. It feels like I'm in the middle. But my promise to you today is this, that you may have experienced fear and worry and doubt. But as you recognize that Jesus comes into that, that today you would be calmed. That today, as you walk out of here, as you walk out of the building in Stocksbridge, as you click stop on the video after today, that actually there will be the peace of God that transcends all understanding would drop into your hearts and your minds today. That it's in the middle. And the result is this, that we can expect to be calmed because in this moment, the disciples were calmed. So, for all of those taking notes, do you know what, side note, this is a little throwaway as well. I was listening to a professor at Stanford this week. I know I'm so well-versed and everything. He does about 2-hour podcasts. I play them on like 1.5 times because I'm not listening to 2 hours. But he was talking about the power of taking notes. And he was saying writing notes down actually means you remember things more. So you know when I've said 65% of people enter heaven who take notes? Science is backing it up. Anyway, I've got 22 points for us like last week. No, I haven't. I've cut them down. But we're going to move quickly. You see, the first thing was this that I recognized. They were calmed by his presence. They were calmed by his presence. You see, when Jesus came in, they were afraid. They were fearful. But as you read the story on, they go out of this place comforted and bold. They go out. I don't know. I was thinking about this and I was thinking, when's a moment like a great example of when you're calmed by someone's presence? And I just thought about my kids and, you know, when they have like a nightmare or a moment in the night and they come into your bed and they're kicking you and their feet are all over you and all of that, but they are calm because they're calmed by your presence. they're calmed by your presence. This moment for the disciples was that they were calmed by the presence of Jesus. But in that calming, then they became bold. Bold. You see it in the book of Acts. Peter stands boldly with the other disciples to proclaim the message of Jesus. You see it all over the book of the Acts. You see Peter and John before the Sanhedrin when they're telling them to be quiet. You know, hold on, they were locked in a room fearful, and now they're saying to the Sanhedrin, we can't keep quiet. We can't keep quiet. His presence changed everything. They became different disciples. Why did they become different from that moment to this moment? It was because of the presence of Jesus. It was because of his presence. And that's why I'm so thankful that he's with us and that he's for us and that we can have his presence with us. That through his Spirit is his presence with us. That through the Holy Spirit, his presence is with us. And so when we're calmed by his presence, because his presence unlocks peace in the middle. We're calmed by his presence because his presence unlocks peace in the middle. I love this because people say, how do I get peace? Well, we have to recognize that peace is not just a feeling. Actually, peace is a person. It's Jesus. The Bible actually calls him the Prince of Peace, that it declares that Jesus is peace. Ephesians 2:14 starts with this, for he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. So it's not a change of my circumstances. It's not a change of what's going on around him. It's a change of focus for me. When we take a look at this story, the disciples in this moment, they're in a room, they're fearful of the Jews, and all they're expecting is to be arrested by their Jews. Their focus is on what's going to happen to them. Their focus is on that they could get arrested as accomplices of Jesus, that they could be put to death. You see, the incredible thing is they're fearful in this moment of death. But actually, as you go forward in the story, many of those died for their faith. They didn't lock themselves in a room because we're going to die for our faith. They actually were willing to die for their faith. And the difference was this, that Jesus became their peace. That their focus shifted from my circumstances onto the person of Jesus. That he is the Prince of Peace. And so we have to reframe peace today. Because peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. It's not the absence of trouble, that even in the middle, you can have peace. And I think when we live our lives without peace, that fear that I've talked about can overtake us. And so the result of this moment for the disciples was calm. And you see what happens afterwards. You read the book of Acts. They rose up, fueled by his presence. I think all the time, but God is looking for a people to rise up, fueled by his presence. He's looking for a people to awaken to his presence, and that through his Holy Spirit, that we would be a people who speak peace to a fearful world. That we would speak peace to a fearful world. That actually we would be the hands and feet of Jesus and be consumed by his presence, so much so that we speak peace to a fearful world. And you're thinking, Nathan, do I have to have special words for that? No, I just have to be consumed by his presence and take his presence with me. That tomorrow when you walk into the classroom as a teacher, you can walk in with the presence of God. And where there's worry and fear and anxiety, you can be the peace because you take the presence of God. Wherever you walk into, whatever your job situation, whatever your family situation, whatever it looks like there in Stocksbridge for you, that you can walk in with the peace of God. But I've got to become consumed by his presence. I've got to become consumed by his presence and say, Jesus, I need you today. Right in the middle, we can be calmed. We can be calmed by his presence. All right, I need to be quick. Time is going. The second thing was they were calmed by his words. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. This word peace is shalom. And it's this whole thing of God's gift of wholeness. that God would give you every good gift. And it's this moment where we have to go, I've got to take Jesus at his word, that he has a plan, that I anchor my life to his words. And as I anchor my life to his words, I find shelter in the middle. You see, they were calmed by his words because his words provide shelter in the middle. His words provide shelter in the middle. Not when it's all done, not when it's all good, but right in the middle, his words provide shelter. You know, there's a great story. I haven't got time to go into it. Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. But Jesus is speaking to people. He's spoken to them for a long time. And he begins to say, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. He's alluding to that if you hear these words of mine, doesn't mean you're going to be exempt from storms. Doesn't mean that you're going to be exempt from rain coming down and streams rising and wind beating against what's going on. Doesn't mean you're going to be exempt, but it does mean that you will not fall if you anchor to these words, that you will find shelter through his words. And so I want to encourage us today, don't wait to praise him. Don't wait to celebrate what God's doing. Celebrate him in the middle. Praise him in the middle. Believe he's doing more in the background than I can see in front of my face. Begin to praise him. Why? Because the Bible tells us he works things, all things together for the good of those who love him. That's the promise. So right in the middle, we can be calmed. We can be calmed by his words. The third thing was this: they were calmed by his wounds. I was thinking about this as I was reading. It was an incredible thing. After he said, peace be with you, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And I was thinking, they were overjoyed by seeing his wounds. Why would his wounds comfort them? Because it was really him. It was really him. You know, he wasn't a ghost. Like Jesus even says this in Luke 24 and verse 39. It says, look at my hands and my feet. Is I myself, touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you see, I have. He even says to them, give me food to eat and you'll see that I'm real. I'm real. In this moment, he was proving that he was actually risen. See, one of the greatest fears that people have is death. Many people fear death, and the disciples in this moment were fearing death, but now they knew there's another side. We'll get to the other side. They were calmed by his wounds because his wounds let us know it's not the end. They let us know that it's not the end. They were calmed by his wounds because his wounds let us know that it's not the end. The last time they saw his wounds or even heard about his wounds was the worst day ever for them. That all of their hopes, all of their dreams that have been pinned on Jesus. I don't think we can fully explain what Jesus meant to the disciples and what it meant to them. All the hopes, they thought they was going to save the nation. All these hopes and dreams that they had. And Jesus's wounds declare that actually all of those hopes and dreams in that moment, it felt like they had all gone. That Jesus's death had killed all of those. They'd vanished away. But his wounds before that moment were the picture that it all vanished. But the worst thing was not the end. The worst thing will not be the end for you. It won't stop what God is doing. C.S. Lewis says this: they say of some temporal suffering, no future bliss can make up for it, not knowing that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn even that agony into a glory. into a glory, that heaven would work backwards, that everything that we face, all of the issues would work backwards, and even that would be turned into a glory. And so the focus for us in what it is, what is on what he has done for us, not what we do for him, but his wounds actually calm us because of what he has done for us. It's a confidence in what he has done for you. It's a confidence today to go, do you know what? I needed a savior. I needed him to die on the cross so that I could know Jesus. I needed him to die on the cross because I could not get myself to the place of perfection. I needed a savior, and Jesus did that on the cross. But his wounds declare to us today that it was not the end just on the cross, but actually that he was risen again, and that actually there's more to come. And so we can be calmed by his wounds today, because his wounds let us know it's not the end. They let us know it's not the end. The fourth thing for us today, they were calmed by his mission. They were calmed by his mission. You see, it says here, it says, as the Father, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He's dispatching them with authority. He's saying to them, do you know what? I'm dispatching you with authority. You see, for many of us, you know, like there's a sending for each and every one of us. Vicky, you're ready, because Stocksbridge needs to see this. You see, we come into this place. I'm going to sit in the middle. You all right? But there's an incredible piece. Gav's got his 5 minutes of fame here. But there's a piece in the gathering. You know, we come into this place, and there's a piece in the gathering. I can imagine in that room there, as they're locked away, Kate feels really uncomfortable right now. But I can imagine in that room, all of a sudden there was this incredible peace. But the peace stayed with them. And we can be calmed by his mission. That there's not just peace for the gathering, but there's peace for the scattering. That as you go out from here today, you know, you love it, church. It's a great atmosphere. There in Stocksbridge, it's brilliant. The presence of God is here. I feel the peace. But I want to encourage you that there's peace for the mission. Just as I have been sent, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. There's a peace for the mission to be sent by Jesus. Romans 10:14 asks us the question, like, how can people know? How can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And there's peace for all of us to take the message of Jesus. And there's peace for the scattering for all of us. You see, it's not just for when I'm sat here next to my two best mates, Katie and Gav. It's for when tomorrow I'm driving into work, there's peace. There's for that conversation. You know, last night I'm sat with some friends and they were asking me about church and different things and all of that. And do you know what? I never felt anxious in that moment. I never felt worried about what I was going to. I just had a peace. Is that because I'm super confident? No. I think it's because of the presence of God. I think it's declaring, do you know what? He's with me. And I get a peace for the scattering. It's not just for this moment when I'm gathered. No, it's for the moment when I get scattered. I'm going to leave you now, Katie. Feel awkward. Because there is for all of us. You see, you might be sat there and you might be feeling quite peaceful because you're in this place. There in Stocksbridge. But I want to say as you go from this place, there'll be peace. You see, Jesus showed up as they gathered to bring peace. But he also... they were sent out, he spoke peace. You see, here it says, as the Father sends you, as the Father sent me, sorry, I'm sending you. But before he says that, he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Even for someone today, that's just it. Peace be with you. You're going to go from this place, peace be with you. It's not just peace for the gathering, but peace for the scattering. We can be calmed by his mission because the mission provides peace in the scattering. That right there in the middle, their most fearful moment, you know, they're being sent. And yet they were calmed by his mission. And the last thing for us today, they were calmed by his spirit. In the middle is when we can feel depleted. We can feel like we have nothing left. We've given everything. I don't know, but I think, you know, for most people's working weeks, Monday to Friday, Wednesday is called what they call hump day, which is basically the middle. Let's get over the hump. And then we're on the home straight till the weekend. When we go around that circle again the next week and then the next week and the next week, and it's in the middle where we can feel depleted. It's in the middle of whatever's going on that we can feel like everything's been stripped back. But the promise is this, that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, it lives in us. I don't know. I think they're more excited about it in Stocksbridge than we are in Chesterfield. But that same power that right in the middle that raised Jesus from the grave, it lives in us. And so in a moment when we feel depleted, we have to rely on his Holy Spirit. That we have to be filled by his Holy Spirit. John 20 and verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. I always find that weird. Like, how did he do it? Was it like him blowing out candles? And then afterwards, they just went, congratulations. Anyway, best not sing too much, otherwise we'll get taken down. Do you know why he breathed on them? Because Genesis 2 and verse 7 says this, when God made man, he breathed the breath of life into him. I don't know, team, if you got Genesis 2 and verse 7 there, buddy, breathed life into us. Jesus breathes again to say, you're made alive in Christ. That today you've been made alive in Christ to receive the power to have everything, to have everything. There it is, the team. Breathed into the nostrils the breath of the life, and the man became a living being. In the middle, I can feel depleted, but today I believe Jesus wants to breathe on us again and say, receive the Holy Spirit, and you'd be made alive in Christ today. That Jesus has got life and life for the full, and so we can be calmed by his Spirit, because his Spirit makes us alive. He makes us alive. And all this happens because of his great victory on the cross. That he was willing to be in the middle for each and every one of us. He was willing to step into the middle for each and every one of us. I find it incredible. John 19 and verse 18 says this. Here they crucified him with two others, one on each side. And where was Jesus? In the middle. He was willing to be in the middle for all of us, willing to take all of our sin, all of our failures, all of us missing the mark, and nail it to a cross. Why? So that we could have life and life to the full, so we can know him today. And it's all because of his great victory on that cross. He hung in the middle to bring forgiveness. He hung in the middle to bring life. He hung in the middle so that in the middle of your circumstances today, you can experience the calm that comes through his presence, the calm today that comes through his words, the calm today that comes through his wounds, the calm today that comes through his mission, and the calm today that comes through his Spirit. Would we all stand? There in Stocksbridge. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus. You've never made that decision to follow him. You've never placed your trust and say, I believe that you died for me and you rose again so I could have life, so I could know you. Then this moment's for you right now in both of our rooms. If we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. But if that's you today, you're making that decision and you're online There's a button and a link you can click, and you're saying, Nathan, that's me. I'm declaring that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm thanking him and I'm believing that he died on the cross for me. And today I'm putting my trust in his great victory on the cross, that he was willing to be in the middle for me. But right now in Stocksbridge and here, with every head bowed and every eye closed, today that's you. You need to make that decision for the very first time. Or today you would be here and you would say, I made that decision before, Nathan, but I need to get right with God. I need to commit my life to him again. I need to place my trust in him today. Then this moment's for you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as I say three, declaring his great victory for your life, that it was for you. It wasn't just for a select few people, it was for everyone, that he was willing to be in the middle. Why? Because he loves us and he's for us. So if that's you today, whether for the very first time or as a recommitment, as I say three, raise your hand, saying, yes, that's me, Nathan. I want to respond. Here in Chesterfield, there in Stocksbridge, as I say three, raise your hand. One, two, three. That's you. Raise your hand right now. Amazing. Amazing. Anybody else? Just raise your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give you praise. Give you praise. So good. Well, firstly, why don't we celebrate with every single person making that decision across Icon Church this weekend? Here in Chesterfield and there in Stocksbridge, the team will bring you a Bible, and it's our gift to you, but it's more than just a gift. It's actually to help you to know this Jesus who loves you. And can I encourage you? Just read a bit of Jesus every single day. Whether that's one verse, whether it's a chapter, however that looks for you, just start by reading Jesus every single day.